Messiah Jeremy from Kentucky from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate. Send the fundage. Keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in that debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and ask about promo items, t-shirts, bumper stickers, business cards, and send a donation, and Mikey will mail you out something there. So this is your Wednesday night spiritual health and wellness broadcast. Wait a minute, before we get into that, there is also a book drive. I believe there's a book available from Piper, and I heard it announced earlier today. If you want to text me those details, Mike, or even just break into the show, it's a very rare book, or I don't know if it's rare, but it's like $100 to buy it online.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not too loud here, but yeah, it's Final Judgment by Michael Collins Piper. Very hard to find, definitely under $100. You're going to have a hard time getting that, and we have very nice copies, so please, if you'd like to donate, just let us know you want to be entered into the book drive. $100, and you will be entered in.
That's right. This will be akin to when we did the book drive, auctioning off the books from John Stadtmiller's library, right? Getting the drawing for that.
This is a book from John Stadtmiller's library, and we also have been given some extra copies, so we may or may not have those available in the very near future, but definitely they're great. I mean, it's the Bible of the JFK assassination, as far as I can tell.
There you go. So, yeah, so if like 10 of you call in with $100 in the drawing, you know, I don't know what the odds are. Some of you may be eligible to get the book. So hopefully you'll call in and get that. So we're doing spiritual health and wellness on your Wednesday night broadcast. We'll be focused on the Bible, Christianity, try to take a break from politics, but I'm sure we'll get into politics a little bit. Taking your calls live for your Wednesday night drive.
That's right.
Weigh in later on. 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. That's the donate number. 512-248-8252 is the call-in number. Did you have something, Mike? Did you break in again?
Nope, sorry. I had some bleed from a... I'm ready to go with the clip. I just had a bleed over from some other audio.
Yeah, as is my MO, playing a sermon clip to analyze from 1 John 2, 22 through 23, Pastor Stephen Anderson of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Roll that clip, Mike, and we'll come back on the other side with commentary.
We switched topics a little bit here. But it makes sense that we would change to this topic because he talks about the world passing away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abiding forever. Meaning that we that are saved, we're going to live forever and this whole world's going to be gone. Everything that we see is going to be gone someday. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. So then that leads naturally into a discussion of eschatology or end times because we're talking about the world passing away and God's people abiding forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, notice that that's singular. There's one guy coming who is Antichrist, right? You've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now, are there many Antichrists, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, what the Bible is saying here is that antichrists or false prophets, false teachers, you know, later on, this is going to be defined by John as someone who denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, so anyone who denies that Jesus is the Messiah is antichrist, according to the Word of God. That's how John's going to define it in this very chapter. And so these people, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. What the Bible is saying is that if someone claims to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but then at some future time they're saying that Jesus is not the Messiah, that they don't believe in Jesus Christ, this means that they were never saved in the first place. Because the Bible says, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Now, this is not necessarily saying that every saved Christian is going to stay in our church or stay in a good church or keep serving God. Because we know that saved Christians do sometimes get backslidden, fall away, get sucked into the cares of this world and so forth. What are we specifically talking about? When we talk about antichrists, we're talking about people coming to you with a false doctrine, right? The Bible talks about people, not abiding in the doctrine of Christ and coming to you bringing some other doctrine, you know, and these people who, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, they might have been manifest that they were not all of us. These people that go out and deny the essential doctrines of Christ after being a Baptist or after being an evangelical Christian of some kind, and they're going to a church where the gospel is being preached, and they're claiming to be a saved Christian, but then all of a sudden now they're denying Christ. Maybe they're teaching Judaism or Islam, or they join some apostate, fake Christian cult that teaches a different gospel. It just means that they were never saved in the first place. It's not that they lost their salvation, because it's impossible to lose your salvation. It's that they were never saved in the first place. And this is what the Bible says. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Manifest means it's open, it's plain to see, it's exposed. Nothing changed with these people. They were never of us, but they went out so that everybody could see them for what they really were all along. That's what the Bible's saying. And so there's a big antichrist coming one day. But even now, there are many antichrists. Antichrist. Now, what does the word antichrist literally mean? This could be a little tricky for some people, because the word anti in antichrist is not the prefix that means against. Because we have in our modern English vernacular this prefix anti-abortion, means you're against abortion, right? Or I'm anti-whatever. That is not what this is. This prefix, anti, is a prefix that means in the place of or instead of, okay? So the antichrist is a guy who is impersonating Christ, or one who follows one who would impersonate Christ. And this makes perfect sense, because the Bible says, let's just jump down here, since we're talking about this anyway, to verse 22. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, what is this saying? In order to deny that Jesus is the Christ, you have to believe that there is a Christ and that it's not Jesus. I mean, just look at the sentence. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This person's not saying there is no Christ. He's saying that Jesus isn't the Christ. There is a Christ, but it's not Jesus. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? And so, if you think about it, if we take that prefix, anti, for what it actually means, which is instead of or in the place of, little children, you've heard that Antichrist shall come. There's going to be a guy who comes saying that he's Christ. Now, the real Christ already came 2,000 years ago. His name's Jesus. And Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But the Bible says that if you deny that Jesus Christ has already come in the flesh, then that's the spirit of Antichrist that even now already is in the world. Okay. So someday there's going to be a fake Christ. And that's really what Antichrist means. It means a fake Christ, the impersonator of Christ, the stand-in for Christ, the one who comes instead of Christ, the one claiming to be Christ who isn't. Now, here's the thing. The biggest antichrist faith is Judaism, because they believe there's a Messiah and that it's not Jesus. And when the antichrist shows up, they will say, this is our Messiah. They will receive him as their Messiah. And that's the spirit of Antichrist, is the spirit of Judaism. That's why the Bible says right here, who is a liar, verse 22, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he's Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So anyone who says that there's another Messiah besides Jesus is of Antichrist, because they're looking to accept this imposter that's coming. That's why the next verse really has the Jews' number, though, doesn't it? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now, this is one of the most important verses in the New Testament. Underline it, memorize it, highlight it, put it in a Xerox machine on like 300% and blow it up real big. It says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You say, well, Pastor Anderson, why are you making such a big deal about that verse when that verse is so basic and so rudimentary? Well, duh. Everybody knows that. No, no, my friend, because would you please explain this to 99% of Baptist churches in America? Because let me tell you something. 99% of Baptist churches in America are not understanding what 1 John chapter 2, verse 23 says. So if it's so basic and so rudimentary, please explain to me why 90-some percent of Baptists across America, this is what they say. The Jews have the same God that we do. They're praying to the Lord. They're praying to Jehovah. They're praying to God. They're the people of God. They're the chosen people of God. That's 90-some percent of Baptists. That's a fact. I don't care if we're talking about independent fundamentalist Baptists. I don't care if we're talking about Southern Baptists, North American Baptists. Most of them are just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs about the Jews. And they will say, oh, look at this Israeli soldier praying and God answered his prayer and you know, defeated those Arabs or whatever. Darn those Arabs, you know. Ishmael, you know. No, the Jews are Ishmael. If you actually read the Bible, if you actually read the New Testament, you'd find that God specifically says the Jews, the Christ-rejecting Jews are Ishmael. They're Ishmael. They're Hagar. And we're Isaac. We, the Christians, are Isaac. Christ-rejecting Jews are Ishmael. That's what the Bible actually says. Read Galatians 3 and 4. But the Bible says that if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. So how in the world could somebody say that Israeli soldier is praying to God? He's praying to a false God. He's praying to a fake God who doesn't exist. Because there's only one real God. There are all kinds of fake gods out there. Lots of false gods, my friend. There's only one true God. And you know who that God is? He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe in the Son, you don't have the Father. But if you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father also. You see, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in the true God. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't say like, well, we got the Father, we just don't have the Son. If you don't have Jesus, you got nothing. Amen. I don't know how else to explain this, but how can you say the Jews have the same God as we do when the Bible says they don't have the Father? So if they don't have the Father, then who do they have? Someone else. Does everybody understand this? Whoever they're praying to at that wailing wall is not the God of the Bible. He's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, there's only one true God, and that true God exists eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. The only real God is a Trinitarian God, not a oneness God.
So just to analyze the clip, to make a differentiation between the actual Antichrist that is coming, the man of sin, and we'll cover that, differentiate that between the spirit of Antichrist or cults and groups that claim maybe to be Christian or have some affiliation with Christianity, but yet they don't acknowledge Jesus for who he revealed himself to be, in the Word of God. And this would include several groups. I'm going to just focus on three of them. Let's start with the Unitarians, modalists, you could say. You can find these predominantly in the Holiness Pentecostal cults. And they deny that there are three persons of one God. They believe that God the Father became Jesus the Son, and that, I guess, became the Holy Spirit. And so they don't believe in the God of the Bible, but yet they claim to be Christians. They are of Antichrist. They have put in a substitute Christ, which is exactly what that word means, as Anderson was pointing out. 1 John 5 and chapter 7, First John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. The same John wrote the Gospel of John, and in the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later in the chapter, he says the Word became flesh. So you have eternally existing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the second person of the Trinity, the Son, became flesh. He is the Word of God, as John bears witness. So the Unitarians, the people that deny the Trinity, and the Trinity is, we have glimpses of it all throughout the Old Testament. I've covered that before, but I'd be willing to cover that again if anybody wants clarity. And the Trinity is fully revealed in the New Testament. This is just one verse of very many that fully reveal. And Jesus also said in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, 24, when he addressed the Jews, he said, I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And the whole context of John 8, 9, and 10 is the Jews were saying that he was not sent from God. They denied his deity. And he made the whole case for that, and he even told them that before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to be the I am that revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. So they did not believe that he was who he said he was. They're the same Jews today, and I don't know some of these people that say that they are Jews, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. I don't know how many of them can trace their lineage back to Israel, the Old Testament. That's really beside the point. That's what they call themselves. They call themselves Jews, and they are currently in power in the West and throughout the globe, dominating upper academia, politics, media, and banking. And they're the ones that I call out. And it's not anti-Christian to call them out. Back on the break, I'm back on the other side.
This avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Memory, your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Follow the blues, just like a summer song. They stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
We're back to the news with Multiple Wellness on Inplain Sight, Republic Broadcasting Network. And I was just making the case, I'm going to do a little aside here, because we dealt with the Unitarians, that cult that denies Christ. A little aside here, you know, it is not anti-Christian to call out Jewish power. And I hear this a lot from especially the total conservative, you know, Fox News watching type so-called Christians. Evangelicals, Zionists, Christian Zionists, and they'll tell me it's anti-Semitic. It's against Christianity. Well, that's funny because Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Acts 14:2, this is just one of many places, writes, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren." Poisoned their minds. Paul, cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks. You just read the entire book of Acts, and you can see that it was not the Roman government in this era of early Christianity that was standing against the church. It was the synagogues. It was the Jewish establishment. Now, once the Jews were expelled after 70 AD, when Titus and Vespasian took Jerusalem, then, you know, eventually you had Nero, and of course the devil, you know, worked through the Roman government to persecute Christians. Once the Jews were gone. But at this point in early Christianity, it was the synagogues that had Paul and the various apostles arrested, beaten, drugged through court. And they were the ones that, you know, pushed the Romans to do that. You go back to the Gospel of John chapter 19, I've covered this before, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but he feared the Jews. And Jesus told him, "You have no power over me except have been given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you hath the greater sin." Talking about the Jewish establishment in general and Judas in particular that delivered him unto Pilate. So, it is the Jews, and they were the ones standing against Christianity from the beginning. They're the ones that, after the French Revolution, the Jacobins, the Reign of Terror, shut down the churches and made them into centers of reason. They decriminalized homosexuality and adultery, and they established Judaism as a accepted religion of the state. You see this again in the Bolshevik Revolution, which was just a patterned off of the French Revolution. The Jewish Bolsheviks, two of the leading ones, Lenin, or should we say Levin, and Trotsky, also known as Lev Davidovich Bronstein, persecuted, murdered 20 to 30 million Christians in Russia at that time, closed down the churches, and left the synagogues standing. But these guys are atheists. They're communists. Why are they friendly to Judaism? Big think emoji. So no, it is Jewish power that is stood against Christianity and that has infiltrated our institutions here in the West. So let's go on to the next group. I'm just going to glance over Jehovah's Witnesses because I really want to bash the Mormons when we come back from the break. Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not believe that Jesus is deity. They believe that he is a created being and somehow related to the devil. They have an anti-Christ religion, although they claim to be Christians. They also have their own little unique translation of the Bible. I have debated Jehovah's Witness elders, and I have asked them, what text does your translation come from? Is it the Alexandrian text, perhaps? You know, some of the older ones that were unfortunately resuscitated in the mid-1800s. Is it the Byzantium text of which the King James is derived? What text does your translation come from? They will not answer me because they don't know. Because a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses in the mid-20th century got together and they had a lot of problem verses like Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 1. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Well, they translate it, well, the Word was a God, because they don't believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. So they are of Antichrist. So if you're in a Jehovah's Witness cult, please get out. They and the Mormons also do a lot of money schemes. They want your money. They're basically corporations, definitely. And that is the motivation for them running out there on their bikes and knocking doors like madmen. And they won't openly tell you what they believe. They will not say that. Jehovah's Witness will not tell you that they don't believe Jesus is deity. They will tell you that they are Christian and that they believe just like you do, and they believe in the Bible, and they'll hold up one of their false Bibles that they've translated themselves, and they will beguile you. That is what I have against them, because at least, you know, the Muslims and even the Jews, for crying out loud, will tell you what they believe up front. But not the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons. They will trick you. Should be coming up on that next break soon. I'll delve into Mormonism just a little bit on the other side of the break. And then we'll get into the actual Antichrist and some verses covering that. Again, if you want to call in and complain or push back, please. He would make my night. 512-248-8252.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
All right, back to In Plain Sight, Health and Wellness, Spiritual Nature. And I do see we have a call. I'm going to get to the caller. But let me just finish up. We dealt with the Jehovah's Witnesses. By the way, also along with the Christian Zionists who say that I'm un-Christian for calling out Jewish power, you also have people even in the white nationalist movement that say, well, Jeremy, you can't be Christian and believe the Bible. That's a bunch of Jews. Look at the Old Testament. Well, my friend, like you've just been brainwashed by the last 50 or 60 years of the false church, of the church that accepts homos and women as pastors, and soon, very soon, come into a town near you, trannies as your pastor. Yes, and that there's a correlation there with Christian Zionism and the acceptance of these degenerate lifestyles into the church. You can't judge 2,000 years of Christianity by the last 50 or 60 years, because Martin Luther, and I did not agree with some of his doctrines, but I definitely agreed with his book, The Jews and Their Lies, for, you know, over 1,000 years plus. I mean, Christians believed in the Old Testament that Israel were the good guys, but they blew it. They rejected the Messiah. And, you know, now the Jews are Christ rejecting, and they're damned. So many, many great men of God believed that, and they believed every bit of the Bible. They loved the Old Testament, and there was no problem. So don't judge Christianity by the last 50 years of degeneracy. Getting on to Mormons. Yes, Mormons will knock your door. The little guys in the white shirts, they're like 20 or something, on their little bicycles, and they'll say, we're Christians just like you. And you have the Bible, look at this. Join our organization. Well, the thing is that Mormons don't believe anything that the Bible teaches. Not at their core. They believe that Jesus and God were once human beings who ascended to godhood. And, you know, they rule from the star Kolob or something like that. And that you too can be a god if you do the works. So number one, they don't believe that, you know, God and Jesus are who they say they are. The Bible says that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are eternal. The three persons in one God, they've always existed. There never was a time when they didn't exist. And that God the Son became man, right? That's the exact opposite. Mormons believe that man became God and that man can become God. And the Bible teaches that God became man to die for your sins. And that it's God who saves you and not your filthy works, right? So that's an exact... But that's the thing, is the deceptiveness. If they would just come to the door and tell you everything about Kolob and the whole works from the get-go, okay then you know what you're dealing with. But they don't. And I counsel with a young teenager He was a young boy, about 16. He was coming to our church part-time in the youth group, and he actually belonged to a Mormon church, and he was in there for a year, a whole year, and he didn't know any of what they believed because they were deceiving him. They were preying upon him because he didn't have a father, and the men of that Mormon church would do filling in the fatherly role for him. And so I went through and read the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and I did like multiple page report on all of the contradictions between the Book of Mormon and the Bible. And I handed it to him, and I'm like, here you go, you got to decide. Are you going to believe the Bible, or are you going to believe Mormons? Your choice, kid. And he dumped the Mormon church and joined the Baptist church. So that's my problem, is the deception. And by the way, both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons claim to be Jews. Jehovah's Witnesses think they're part of the 144,000 that's mentioned in Revelation. They're of the tribes of Israel, and the Mormons think they're some lost tribe of Israel that went to America. And this is interesting because Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 talk about this. Revelation 2:9, I know your works. This is Jesus addressing the church of Smyrna in Asia Minor. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So I would lump these Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and the Jews all in one. They claim to be Jews, but they're not. The difference is that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons don't wield power over our civilization, and those that claim to be Jews do. That's your big difference, is the Jews have the real power, but they all claim to be something that they're not. Galatians 3 says that Christians who believe in Christ are of the spiritual Israel. They have the spiritual blessings of Abraham. So that's my breakdown on the spirit of Antichrist and the different cults that masquerade as Christians. Next, I'll get into the Antichrist himself, but first, I want to go to the phones. We have a caller in Mississippi, Wayne in Mississippi. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Jeremy, have you ever been to a Seventh-day Adventist church?
I have not, but I know they still like try to observe the law, and they go to church on Sunday, on Saturday they observe the Sabbath, which actually is Friday night to Saturday night.
Correct. That was the point I was going to make, that I think that they are correct in that the true Sabbath is Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. And, I caught your show late, so I didn't know whether you were discussing various denominations, and I just wanted to ask you about them. I've go to their church occasionally. I'm not a member, but they're good people, and they're, I just kind of wanted to get your opinion of it.
Well, they teach works-based salvation, which is against the Bible. You can't go to heaven based on your works. It's only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Ephesians 2:9 and 10 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. This is a gift of God, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. All through the Bible, it's only belief in what Jesus did for you, not what you do in works. That's the main problem I have with them. They believe in spirit sleep, which I don't really, that's whatever. The Bible does not teach about spirit sleep. To be absent with the body is present with the Lord if you're a believer. And Jesus taught that a lost person, when they die, they go directly to hell. That's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which is actually a true account that he gave. So those are my two issues with that. Any religion that teaches works-based, and there's even a lot of Baptists that are getting into that. So it's not just a denomination. But to your points on the Sabbath, let me make a point on the Sabbath, then I'll kick it to you. Yes, the Jewish Sabbath was Friday night at sundown until Saturday night at sundown. But as Christians, we worship the Lord on the first day of the week, which we would call Sunday. That's when the Lord Jesus arose from the grave. It's when the apostles gathered together in the upper room. And that's when Paul commands us to bring money to the church on the first day of the week. So that's when let me kick it to you for your comment.
When you talk about works, and I agree with you that we're saved by faith, But you know that the book of James always I always would think of those verses in the book of James about faith without works is dead, and yes. Or something like that. And you know, so that always kind of is on my mind. But anyways, I'll let you go. I just wanted to ask you about your opinion about the Seventh-day Adventists. So enjoy your show.
Yeah, and I'll deal with this James, because this is a very good point you bring up. James chapter 2 is what you're talking about. And you can't take anything in the Bible out of context, especially a verse. James 2 should be read in conjunction with Romans 4. And so if you read the entirety of James 2, starting in verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So there's the context of James 2. People who claim to be Christian and they see their Christian brother in need, if you don't do anything to help that brother, your faith, your claim to be Christian is ineffectual. It is not helping anyone, and it is therefore dead. You know, just like a dead person is not going to do anything for you. So James goes on to make the case, and I won't read it verbatim, I'll just summarize it, that a true Christian will show works. But then he goes to Abraham. James 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now that happened in Genesis 15. It was much later in Genesis that Abraham demonstrated his faith by the fact that he was willing to obey God's command to sacrifice Isaac. Now, of course, God stopped him and he didn't sacrifice Isaac. God does not command human sacrifice. This was a test, and it was a typology of Christ. In the same way that Abraham the father was willing to sacrifice Isaac the son, God the father sacrificed the second person of the Trinity, Jesus the son. So the point being here is that Abraham was justified, as James 2:23 says, by his faith. He believed. His works were an outwork. That was an evidence. In other words, Abraham demonstrated to the world, as we read these stories now thousands of years later, Abraham demonstrated the faith that was already there in his heart. It wasn't his works that saved him. And Romans 4 specifically outlines this. Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not accounted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And the entire chapter of Romans 4 goes on to make the case that it's not works that saves you, but faith. The works are an evidence of faith. That's how you demonstrate to the world that you're a believer, and faith without works is not effectual. You're not helping anyone. You're not demonstrating your faith to anyone. You are a ineffectual or dead Christian. That's the point of that. Are you still there, Wayne, or did you cut out?
Yeah, no, I'm still here, and I'm having a hard time hearing you. But listen, that was a good explanation, and I don't like to drag on. So, but I really do enjoy your show, and I try to listen to it at least two or three nights a week. So, thanks a lot, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Mike, am I breaking up? I thought I was good here. The Wi-Fi has a good signal. Mike says I'm coming through okay. So we're going to continue on. We're going to deal with the actual Antichrist. So I dealt with the spirit of Antichrist and how, in 1 John 2, it talked about there are many Antichrists. And so we covered that. All of these cults that claim to be Christian, but they don't believe who Jesus is, who he says he is. But, you know, one day, probably soon, there's an actual man of sin that's going to be revealed. and that's going to be the Antichrist. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. There was a question in the church of Thessalonica, and there was a worry that maybe they had missed the return of Christ, right? So Paul is addressing that. And Paul starts in, I'll start in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, now what day? The day of Christ. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who exalts, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now this is the Antichrist that Paul is speaking of, and Paul is saying that the day of Christ will not come until that man of sin is revealed. And he's not been revealed yet. There's not been one person that's taken the globe and sat in the temple in Jerusalem, because there's no temple there now, and claimed to be God. So this prophecy presupposes many things. Number one, there's got to be a temple. That's not there yet, so we got a little bit of time. Now, they could build that temple in probably a year. And that's the third temple that the Jews are so, and the Christian Zionists, like Hagee, they're so hell-bent on funding and building that temple. They are going to welcome this individual that is the man of sin as the Messiah. This is why he is the Antichrist. He puts himself in the place of Christ, okay? And so the falling away must come first. Now, what's the falling away? This is the great apostasy. Timothy talks about this, that in the last days, men will be boasters and lovers of themselves without natural affection. And then he goes on and he basically describes the era that we're living in. There's not going to be a great revival. That Asbury nonsense was just garbage. Homos and women were ordained as preachers in Asbury College in Kentucky. And they got up during that so-called revival and they preached. So this is the falling away. What you've seen, what you've observed, the empirical data for the last 5 to 6 decades of the church buying into Christian Zionism, totally being affected by the sexual revolution that was brought to us by the Jews, and ordaining homos and women and trannies and accepting them into the congregation. This is the great apostasy, the falling away. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And the church, who is supposed to be the light and the salt, light exposes sin, and salt preserves the culture. Just like salt would preserve a deer that you killed back in the olden days, and you would hang it up and salt it down and cure it out. That's what the church is supposed to do, but it has failed. And this is why we see sin not being revealed. The light has been put under a bushel. And this is why we see the culture in rot, because the church has failed. They have failed to preserve. What you're seeing today, I blame the Jews, and yes, that is true. They are, you know, the main entity that's driving this. But they couldn't be successful if the church had done its job. Ultimately, I blame the church for not withstanding them as they had done for millennia. Up on the break, we are back on the other side.
Hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul, it reaches into where I cannot hide.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem like
flame. Okay, we're back. Final segment of Spiritual Health and Wellness, and there's no more callers. I don't want to get into all these training news articles because I'm just burnt out on trainings. So let's finish out the broadcast with the greatest composer ever from the Baroque era, George Frederick Handel. I know that my Redeemer liveth. If you would mind, please, Mike, please play that for the rest of the show. Y'all stay blessed. If you have it queued up. Oh, yeah, that George Frederick Handel, I know my Redeemer liveth. Thought I sent that to you. Yeah. It's there. Scroll up a little bit. Yeah. Enjoy. I would argue the greatest composer. Thank you.
of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.